プレゼント。Today, my name is Yoshinaki Amano, I'm a PhD student at Kyoto University. So today I'll introduce my paper titled as Real Effects of Intangibles Capitalization, Empirical Evidence of Voluntary IFRS Adoption in Japan. So let me begin with a summary of this paper. So the purpose of this study is to examine changes in firms' behaviors after voluntary adoption of IFRS in Japan, because it has expanded the scope for capitalization of intangibles compared with Japanese GAAP. And there are mainly two key findings of this paper. And the first is, if a firm possesses more intangibles, then it is more likely to adopt IFRS. And the second is, once a firm adopts IFRS, then it will further increase intangible investments. And the main contributions of this study are, first, to provide empirical evidence related to analytical works on intangibles capitalization. And the second is to suggest that intangibles accounting can have significant impact on managers' decision-making. So, let's start with theory and hypothesis. And as the global economy has shifted its importance from tangible to intangible investments, there has been an argument over intangibles capitalization, as you know, and some support capitalization, saying traditional financial statements are not adopted, and without capitalization of intangibles, the balance sheets are not valued, and therefore intangible capitalization should be used for investors. However, others opposed to capitalization, saying recovering intangibles of balance sheets has some problems, and investors can evaluate the firms from the information of PL, and therefore the disclosure of intangibles should be left to private incentives. And this study focuses on this issue from a perspective called real effects, which means changes in accounting rules can have some impacts on decision-making of companies. And specifically, there are two analytical studies in this study, which are related to this study. And first one suggests if a firm has more intangibles, and then capitalization of intangibles should be more beneficial for such firm. And the second one suggests if intangible assets are capitalized, and then the firms would increase their intangible investments. So this paper aims to test these theories using a sample of voluntary adopters of IFRS in Japan. And in Japan, the IFRS adoption was permitted in 2010, and the number of the adopters has been increasing every year. And regarding intangible assets, there are two specific differences between IFRS and Japanese GAAP. The first is goodwill, which is regularly amortized under Japanese GAAP within 20 years, and while IFRS does not require such regular amortization. And the second is research and development costs, which is fully expensed under Japanese GAAP, while IFRS allow product development costs to be capitalized. And so, generally speaking, in IFRS, more part of intangibles are capitalized compared to Japanese GAAP, and therefore one could expect that after IFRS adoption, there should be an inflation of intangibles amount for those IFRS adopters. And to test this point, this study conducts a preliminary analysis by comparing the amount of intangibles of the IFRS adopters in the year of transition to IFRS. And as this video shows, the IFRS adopters in Japan are required to disclose the financial statements both under Japanese GAAP and IFRS in the year of transition. And therefore, in this year, we can compare the same numbers of those adopters under both of these two standards. So, this table shows the result of the comparison. And these are the mean values of the 40 IFRS adopters that adopted IFRS in Japan by the year of 2015. And first, this panel A shows the comparison of intangible assets divided by total assets. And this is the number on the JGAAP, and this is on the IFRS, and this shows the difference. So you can see there is 1,000 point difference between these two standards. So these firms increased their intangibles by 1,000 point by adopting IFRS. And second, panel B shows the difference in ROA, net profits divided by total assets, and the difference is 3.3%. And of course, this difference includes some other factors than intangibles, And therefore, not all of this can be explained by capitalization, but roughly speaking, one set of these 3.3% can be attributed to intangible capitalization and adoption. And then, these 40 IFRS adopters are divided into two groups, large IA and small IA, meaning the top half of intangibles and bottom half. And in panel A, you can see this large IA group experiences more increase in terms of intangibles after adoption compared with small IA group. And similarly, in panel B, you can see a large IA group experiences more increase in terms of profitability than small IA group. So, this analysis suggests two things. The first is, these IFRS adopters can benefit in terms of profitability after adoption due to intangibles capitalization. And second, this benefit is larger for those adopters with more intangibles. And then, these arguments and analysis so far lead to two hypotheses to be tested. The first is, if affirmed possesses more intangibles, then it is more likely to adopt IFRS. Because for the firms with more intangibles, it is more beneficial to adopt IFRS in terms of profitability increase. And the second is, once a firm adopts IFRS, it further increases its intangible investments. Because after adoption, the scope for capitalization has been expanded, and therefore, negative impact on profitability coming from expensing of intangibles should be much lower than under Japanese GAAP. So these two hypotheses are to be tested in the study using a sample of voluntary adopters of IFRS in Japan. And then I will explain the research design. So first, this slide shows the formula of the logit model for IFRS adoption to test the hypothesis one, more intangibles leading to IFRS adoption. And among this formula, the dependent variable is this adoption, which is a dummy variable indicating whether or not a firm adopts IFRS. So for a sample of IFRS adopter, this value takes 1, and for non-adopter sample, this equals to 0. And the independent variables include two key variables, IA and RA. First, IA is intangible assets divided by total assets. And second, RD is research and development cost divided by total sales. And the hypothesis one expects both of these two variables to have positive coefficients because if a firm possesses more intangibles and spends more on research and development, and then it is more likely to adopt IFRS because of larger benefit coming from capitalization. And also, you may notice the year of these independent variables is T minus 5, which means 5 years before IFRS adoption. And this is because, on average, it takes approximately 4 years to adopt IFRS according to a survey. And therefore, this year should be set as 5 years before in order to reflect the state of these companies before the actual decision-making of IFRS adoption happened. And then, to test the hypothesis two, you need to compare these two groups, IFRS adopters and non-adopters, in terms of the amount of intangible assets. However, there is a problem, because IFRS adopters and non-adopters are quite different. For example, adopters are typically much larger than average Japanese firms, and therefore these two groups are not apple-to-apple, cannot be compared simply with each other. And therefore, to eliminate this self-selection bias, a technique called propensity-score matching is necessary before testing the hypothesis two. And here, the propensity score, which means a probability of IFRS adoption, is calculated in the model in the previous slide. And then all of the sample firms are arranged in this order from this score from low to high. And of course, IFRS adopters are those highly likely to adopt IFRS, and therefore they are skewed in the high side, while non-adopters are rather scattered from low to high. And among these non-adopters, those included in the sample are only this one, those with high propensity score as the adopters. And these two groups are now matched with each other one by one and included in a sample, while the rest of non-adopters with low propensity score are excluded. And finally, for these extracted samples, this difference in difference model is analyzed to examine the hypothesis too. And here, the dependent variable is IA, which is intangible assets divided by total assets. And the independent variables include two dummy variables, cost and adoption, where adoption is as explained, indicating whether or not a firm adopts IFRS, and cost refers to before or after IFRS adoption. So for example, before adoption, this value is zero, and for example, after adoption, this equals to one. And this coefficient, beta 3, of the interaction time of these two dummy variables indicates the changes in intangible assets of adopters after adoption compared with non-adopters. And therefore, the hypothesis 2 expects this coefficient beta 3 to be positive. And then, regarding sample collection, around 14,000 firm yields were extracted from all the listed firms in Japan for the logic model to test the hypothesis 1. And then, the propensity score matching is conducted to extract 80 firms, including 40 IFRS adopters and 40 non-adopters, for the DID difference in difference model to test the hypothesis 2. So, I'll show the results. First, this table shows the result of the logit model for IFRS adoption testing the hypothesis 1, more intangibles leading to more likely IFRS adoption. And as expected, the two key variables, intangible assets and research and development costs, both showing positive and significant coefficients. And therefore, this means if a firm has more intangibles and spends more on R&D, and then it is more likely to adopt IFRS. So this is consistent with the hypothesis 1. And then the propensity score matching is conducted, extracting two groups, 40 IFRS adopters and 40 non-adopters. And this table shows the comparison between these two groups in terms of these variables that are included in the logic model, and also PS means a propensity score calculated in the model. And this table shows there is no significant difference between these two groups. So now we have two comparable groups for the DAD model. And then, this graph shows the comparison of intangible assets between these two groups, IFRS adopters, shown in gray bars, and non-adopters in white bars. And the IFRS adoption occurs in year T, and this graph ranges from 5 years before to 4 years after. And as explained, IFRS adoption on average takes 4 years, so actual decision-making of adoption should have occurred somewhere around 4 years before. And this graph shows the intangible assets of IFRS adopters starting from this decision-making point continuously increasing, while those for non-adopters are rather constant or slightly decreasing. And these changes can be attributed to three factors. The first is one-time account effect, which means in the year of transition, the adopters can retroactively adjust some of the past investments in intangibles. And therefore, one could expect that in this year, there should be a one-time change, one-time increase in the amount of intangibles. However, this graph does not show such one-time jump in the year of transition, and therefore this one-time accounting effect cannot be a dominant cause explaining these changes. And then, the second possibility is continuous accounting effect, which means after the IFRS adoption, the scope for the capitalization has been expanded. And therefore, every year, the adopters can experience much faster increase in intangibles compared with before adoption. But if this is true, the speed in increase in intangibles should be much faster after adoption like this. But actually, it doesn't show such change in the speed in increase, rather steady and continuous increase throughout the period. And therefore, this continuous accounting effect cannot be a dominant cause either. And finally, the remainder of the changes can be explained by continuous real effects, which is the focus of the hypothesis 2, meaning starting from decision-making of IFRS adoption, the intangibles of adopters continuously increasing, consistent with the hypothesis 2. And finally, this table shows the result of the DAD model to test the hypothesis 2. And as expected, the instruction time of post in adoption showing positive and significant coefficients, meaning the intangible assets of IFRS adopters increased after adoption compared with non-adopters, and therefore supporting the hypothesis too. So, in addition to the main analysis, several robustness tests were conducted to support the result in the main analysis. And the first is changes in real actions following adoption. And specifically, this analysis examines the mergers and acquisitions activities of the adopters because more than half of the intangible of the adopters comprises of goodwill. And therefore, if there is any change in real actions of the adopters that affect the amount of intangible assets, that should be mergers and acquisitions. First, this graph shows the changes in average number of M&A transactions made by a firm per year for IFRS adopters, and you can see there is a slight increase after adoption, while that for non-adopters decreased after adoption period, and therefore, this difference is positive, although slightly insignificant, but this tendency is much more striking when you look at this one. Average M&A transaction value relative to total assets. So IFRS adopters experienced significant increase in terms of average transaction value after adoption, while that for non-adopters decreased, and therefore difference is positive and significant. So this analysis suggests after IFRS adoption, the adopters are much more actively engaged in mergers and acquisitions, especially in terms of average transaction value. So they pay much more for each transaction, and this can be one of the main causes of explaining the increase in intangibles, especially goodwill. And second, more recent sample is used in the DAD model. So in the main analysis, the DAD model included 40 IFRS adopters and 40 non-adopters. And of course, this sample size is not so large due to the limitation of the number of the adopters in Japan. It is also due to the limitation of the observable periods after adoption. So, for example, if I included the most recent sample that adopted the IFRS in this year, it is impossible to observe the periods after adoption at all. So this is meaningless. And this is why the main analysis limited the sample collection period between 2010 to 2016 in order to ensure the sufficient length of the observable period after adoption. But here, the more recent sample is included to expand the sample size, although it reduces the observable periods after adoption. So first, this includes one more recent year, expanding the sample to 54 pairs from 40, but reduces the observable period by 1 year. And similarly, this includes two more years, expanding to 80 pairs, two less years of observable, and three more recent years, 105 pairs, and three less periods. And you can see all of them are very similar. And finally, this table shows the results of the DAD analysis when using these more recent samples, and all of them are basically the same as the main analysis. And therefore, the results are consistent when using more recent samples. And third, observation period relative to adoption was changed. This means, so in the main analysis, the pre-adoption period was either T minus 5, and the post-adoption period was T plus 1, and this was because IFRS adoption on average takes 4 years. But it is also true that some of the adopters took more than 4 years, like 5, 6, or even more. And considering this fact, here, this analysis changed pre-adoption period to T minus 6 or 7 instead of 5, and this table shows the result of the logic model when using these pre-adoption periods, and the results are consistent. And also, this table shows the results of the difference-in-difference model when changing the pre-adoption period, and also post-adoption period to T plus 2 or 3 instead of 1, and all of them are very similar. So the results in the main analysis are unchanged with changing the observation period relative to adoption. And finally, one-to-many matching was conducted instead of one-to-one matching. So in the main analysis, one IFRS adopter is matched with one non-adopter. But you can increase the number of non-adopters, matched with one adopter, to two, three, or even more. This procedure can expand the sample size, but at the same time, reduces matching quality. This means, for example, if you match, say, five non-adopters to one adopter, these five non-adopters can include those that are not so close to IFRS adopters in their natures. And therefore, this procedure can reduce the matching quality. So there is a trade-off between this matching quality and sample size. So this analysis used 1 to 2 and 1 to 3 matching instead of 1 to 1. And this table shows the results of the DID analysis when using 1 to many matching, but results are consistent. And therefore, the results in the main analysis are robust to 1 to many matching too. So, let me conclude this study. So, this study is aiming to examine changes in firms' behaviors after voluntary adoption of IFRS in Japan, because it has expanded the scope for capitalization of intangibles. And there are two key findings of this study. The first is to provide empirical evidence related to past and optical works of intangibles capitalization. This is contribution, right? And the second is suggesting that intangible accounting affects real decision making. And the key findings of this study was more intangibles leading to IFRS adoption, and IFRS adoption leading to more intangibles. So this is it. Thank you for your attention.